This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
With yesterday's win over the Boston Red Sox, the Orioles have now made it once through their rotation. Earlier, Mike Elias, general manager for the Baltimore Orioles, talked about his pitching rotation.
We have a lot of depth behind those guys in the organization. We've got a lot of great pitchers coming back from injury. We're hopeful to get them back from injury over the next several months, so that'll help. But like I was saying, I think we constantly have to be looking at bringing in pitching from the outside that comes in all shapes and sizes. We signed Kyle Gibson right before the end of free agency. So we're just going to keep pulling it in wherever we can find a deal that we like and somebody that we like and bring it in an organization, because we know nowadays how precarious the health situation is and how hard it is to cover all these innings at the major league level, especially for a team that doesn't have a $300 million payroll. So we're creative. We're out there. We're looking. And I don't think this is something that ever stops. I think it's in season, off season, and that'll continue to be the case.
So he was on MLB Network talking about the rotation, talking about the fact that they there will continue to add, and they signed Kyle Gibson right before the start of the season. He's expected to be ready by May. What do we think about this one turn through the rotation?
Well, the reality is there is no depth right now. Chase McDermott, they don't know when he's coming back. They don't know exactly when Kyle Gibson will be ready to pitch in the major leagues. Brandon Young had a really nice first start at Norfolk, but he had a really rough spring. They don't know when Trevor Rogers will be back. So there's, let's not kid ourselves. It's pretty bleak right now, and the Suarez injury is potentially fairly devastating. Eflin was awesome. We all love Slim yesterday. Dean is Dean. I think we know what Dean Kramer is. He's going to pitch into trouble, and when he pitches out of it, he provides some length, and when his stuff's on and he gets swing and miss, he's a better-than-average major league starter. When he pitches into trouble and gives up long balls, and bears down a little bit and throws the fastball and tries to get a little machismo, bad things happen. What we haven't really talked about are Sagano and Morton, and they're the two guys I'm watching most closely because one's elderly and one's never pitched in the major leagues before. Honestly, the most troubling thing I saw the first week of Orioles baseball was Charlie Morton.
Agreed.
This guy lives and dies with a curveball that the league couldn't touch last year. Batted 200, had a projected batting average of 180. Slugged 300, had an expected slug of basically under 300. He threw 23 curveballs in that first outing. He got two swings and miss and three called strikes. That's a 22% called strike whiff rate on his curveball, on his premium pitch. That's a problem. They hit three curveballs, 101, 97, and 107 off the bat. Okay, they destroyed his curve, and frankly, they destroyed all of his secondaries. They went 3-for-4 off his curve, 3-for-5 off his sinker, 1-for-2 off his changeup. Those four pitches he threw 48 times. He got 8 called strikes and 3 whiffs. Okay, that's a problem. they put 14 balls on play and had an average exit velocity over 100 miles an hour. Okay, this guy faced 18 batters, gave up 12 balls off the bat 97 miles an hour or faster. If they're able to sit on that curve and wait for that curve, and that's the only premium pitch he has, and he was averaging 95 miles an hour, so it's not like his velo was down. That's a problem. 12 hard hit balls and 3 1/3. He's supposed to be the crafty guy who's done it all and seen it all. And frankly, he's supposed to be a guy who, because he's got this rubber band arm, provides some length. If he's not providing any length, with the way their bullpen's constructed and with no cavalry on the way at Norfolk, that's a big problem. Just one start.
Yeah.
But let's start there. Yeah. What did you think of Charlie Morton?
Was not impressed at all.
Yeah, and now no protection from Suarez, who ended up getting put on the IL after relieving Morton. But yeah, I'm with you. That was the most disappointing thing because he was able to escape those first three innings when there were runners on base on all of those first three innings. They were hitting the ball really hard, and then it really fell apart for him in the fourth inning. But I felt like his stat line didn't even illustrate how poorly it went for him.
It made me think, too, he didn't pitch a whole lot this spring, and he's a 41-year-old guy, and did they ramp him up enough for the start of the season? I felt like they almost treated him.
When he did pitch, he was pretty damn good.
He was damn good, but should he have gotten up more of a little bit more?
Well,
of a
remember
ladder.
The guy they cranked up the most
is now,
ironically enough, was Suarez.
Yes, and he's
who
now
we
hurt.
All thought should have been in the pen to begin with.
Yeah,
not Monday morning quarterbacking. He should have come to Sarasota as a reliever.
Yes, completely agree. And they did this with
Tyler Wells
a year ago.
Did it with him for about 3 years straight.
But I mean, we just talked about it at the time in spring training. This guy should be a bullpen guy, and no, he's a starter. And now here we are. The Sagano of it all. He was awful in the first inning, and man, oh man, was he sweating. It's like but I felt like he settled down a little bit, and then unfortunately the cramps happened. He should make his next start, but I don't know that I feel better about Sagano, but I feel worse about Morton one turn through.
Yeah, Morton to me, he's not a guy they can afford to cut a lot of slack. He's the third highest paid guy on the team. No, Sagano's the fourth highest. But, I mean, this is supposed to be he's got to be a steadying presence who doesn't just junk it up for four innings, but pitches into the sixth inning and at least keeps you in games. So that's got to get better quickly. Sagano, look, that's a tough spot for him. He was clearly nervous. Pinpoint control guy had control issues. Now, it's his first time pitching in the majors. Bro, if you were intimidated by that, good luck at Fenway and Yankee Stadium. I was a little surprised. 36 years old, waited this long to come over here. I was surprised that he seemed that affected by the moment. Maybe I'm on an island there. I kind of thought, he's been there, done that. He's pitched in the playoffs. He's been one of the best pitchers in that league forever.
Still a different level.
Yeah, I was surprised by the nerves. We knew he was going to be a nibbler. Boy, is he a nibbler. Five swing and miss total. Threw 80 pitches. I did find it interesting. Brian Baker, same lineup. He got five swing and miss, and he pitched an inning.
Bake show.
I mean,
we got the good Baker so
far. Yeah, well,
you're going to pitch in the majors as a starter in the AL East and be getting five swing and miss in five or six innings. That's going to be a problem. What I did like is he got a ton of ground balls with the splitter. He clearly seemed to like the sinker against right-handed batters. He threw 31 pitches to righties. 10 of them were the sinker. When they made contact, it was hard, but a lot of it was foul. But I thought the splitter was a pitch where he's going to lean on. If he can get ground balls with the splitter, that's a good thing. But even he, 7 hard hit balls in 4 innings. That's not ideal. I feel like we got to give him, I told you, I'm not going to give him a lot of grace. I'm going to give him some. But Charlie Morton needs to be better the next time out.
By the way, speaking of the Japanese guys in pitching, have you seen what Sasaki's doing so far this year? He's been awful. Two starts, and he's been terrible.
He's a kid.
Yeah, I know, but he's the kid with all the, he's the wonderkin. He was the guy supposed to hit the ground running. He is struggling.
We put out another poll.
Go back and look at Ohtani's first couple starts.
I know.
We put out another poll. IA1057 The Fan is how you can vote on Twitter. Already about 150 votes in. First trip through the Orioles rotation was a little rough, as expected. No reason for alarm yet, but which shaky season debut gave you the most pause, Birdland? And it's a runaway so far, 61.9% Morton, 26.1% Sugano, and 11.9% Kramer.
That poll and all polls, go to IA1057 The Fan to vote. Coming up next here on the program, all the young dudes, how do they replace Colton Cowser? As he's going to miss 6 to 8 weeks. We have some ideas. Is it Cedric Mullins' time? That's next here on The Fan.